Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Hey, welcome back. Hour number two. I think this is going to be fun. I just got a little request, Jerry, to talk about oxytocin. They want you to do some teaching about oxytocin that you haven't referred to it in months. Somebody called in.
I suspect it's been closer to a year.
Yeah, it may well be. And just a quick reminder, Dr. Umat is not with us today, but hopefully she'll be back with us this next weekend. And so right now it's just you and me and our listeners, and that's okay because you're getting in some good teaching here.
Yeah, me and thee, that's the way it is today.
That's right. So oxytocin is really an amazing topic. And so why don't you just start off? And for those who have not been listening or haven't heard about it, okay, what is it and why do we use it?
Oxytocin is one of the hormones we often use at Longevity Medical Clinic. It's not one of the, quote, popular hormones like testosterone and estrogen that people come in asking for. But it is an extremely useful hormone. So let me kind of explain oxytocin here for a bit. Oxytocin, to some extent, is a bonding hormone. It makes you form an emotional connection to someone that you see when you have high oxytocin levels. The most prominent form of oxytocin production is with childbirth. When a woman has a baby and she's breastfeeding this child, nipple stimulation, the child sucking on the nipple, stimulates the brain to release oxytocin. So mom is holding the baby. She's looking down at her baby's face. The baby is feeding at her breast and she's dumping oxytocin into her brain as a result. And the consequence is she forms an emotional bond with that baby.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. And since she tends to feed the baby every 2 hours, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week,
that's right,
for months, with this repeated pounding of the brain by oxytocin, she forms a bond with that child that is totally unbreakable. Okay. Mothers who have nursed their kids will love that child no matter what sort of dangerous sociopath the kid turns out to be.
Okay.
Mother will still love him.
Okay.
All right. Dad may write the kid off if he doesn't get a job at some point. Because while we love our children, we don't have that chemically induced bond with them.
Interesting. Okay.
All right. So mother love is different from father love in large measure because we don't nurse our children. And so we don't get our brain chemistry altered by oxytocin release.
So we don't make any oxytocin?
Ah, that's not true.
Okay.
We make oxytocin when we have sex.
Oh,
okay.
When
you remember when you had your first great romance.
Oh, yes.
And you, that first great romance of your life, and you are just totally wrapped up and you're having sex. You're having sex like little bunny rabbits every chance you get. And it doesn't matter whether it's someplace you should or shouldn't be doing it. You're doing it anyway. And very quickly, that person became perfect. They had no flaws. They were an angel sent down from heaven just for you. They were your soulmate. You were going to be in love with this person eternally. Most of us have had that experience at some point. And then as the relationship matures and sexual frequency decreases, suddenly you realize one day they have a flaw. They're not perfect after all. They squeeze the toothpaste from the wrong end. They do something that's not perfect anymore. Okay? And that is because we, men and women, by the way, we make oxytocin with sex. Sexual arousal starts oxytocin flowing. Climax gives us this giant burst of oxytocin in our brains. Most of the time we are facing and looking at that person when we have that big oxytocin burst. And that's why we bond to each other as a couple. How's that for applied chemistry?
That is exciting. Well, it's just the arousal.
Starts it.
Right.
Oxytocin starts to flow with arousal. And then the more deeply you get involved into the sex act, the more oxytocin you're making. And orgasm triggers this great big final surge of oxytocin into your brain. And that's why young couples become so attached, so connected to each other. And then as they get older, life starts to interfere. There's no time for sex three times a day anymore. And besides, you're getting tired. And so oxytocin bursts get less and less and less frequent.
How long does oxytocin last?
Well, the chemical itself is pretty ephemeral. It only hangs around for a few hours. But the effect on the brain is cumulative. And the more often you've got it,
the more frequently you've got it.
Well, I said bonding, but that's incomplete. It also makes it difficult for you to think negative thoughts.
Ooh.
It's kind of chemically induced rose-colored glasses, and that's why they become perfect. You're not only bonded to him, you say, God, he's a son of a bitch, but I love him anyway. No, he's perfect. He doesn't have flaws. You can't see his flaws. You can't see her flaws.
Interesting.
And so it's the chemically induced rose-colored glasses. Everything is wonderful about this person. In the clinic, we use oxytocin for several reasons. We use it, for instance, people that have had a traumatic event in their past and they've got some degree of post-traumatic stress syndrome. When we put people with PTSD on oxytocin, they have more difficulty thinking about the bad event in their life.
Interesting. I understand you've said in the past vets are often...
Yes. In fact, I worked with a psychiatrist several years ago down at the VA hospital, and he started using oxytocin lozenges for veterans with PTSD. And it helps. Doesn't so totally solve the problem, but it's a good start. You make it more difficult for them to think of the event, and they tend to put a more positive spin on whatever is going on in their life.
Hopefully making it through a healing crisis.
Precisely. Yeah. And that makes them more amenable to talk therapies and reassurance and so on and so on. So oxytocin is quite useful, but we use it not just with vets. Just, you know, a lot of people have had a traumatic crisis in their life. They had a child die. They lost a mate. They lost a job, for goodness sakes.
You bet.
A career was destroyed. They got accused of something horrible that they didn't do.
Maybe a pandemic came along.
Whatever.
Sequestered.
So oxytocin is very useful in those sort of situations. We also use it to enhance couple bonding again. You know, in the population we treat, people that are in their 50s and 60s and 70s, many of them have been together for a long, long time.
That's right.
And through the years, with the changes in hormones and diminishment, they just kind of become roommates rather than lovers. And sometimes just using an oxytocin for the two of them to enhance that couple bonding. You see, we can put oxytocin as a nasal spray, and you can you know, gaze into one another's eyes and spray the oxytocin up your nose every morning. It sounds a little silly, but if you're looking at the person and you sniff oxytocin, you start to bond emotionally to that person. You see start to see the good side of that person again. It's a heck of a lot cheaper than counseling.
Yeah.
You know, you go see your therapist, it's $150 a pop. If you're in real trouble, maybe it's twice a week, at least once a week. Well, oxytocin, I don't know, maybe $30, $40 a month.
Really?
Yeah. So
is it the type of thing that you use on a daily basis?
Yes.
or occasionally?
It depends. But for most people, we use it on a daily basis, especially if we're trying to develop couple bonds or PTSD or, you know, if they got traumatic events.
Sure.
Now, the nasal route is not so great if you've got nasal polyps or allergies or a cold, because you sure. block off the cribriform plate. You can't get it in your brain very well. So we can also use it as a buccal lozenge, where you just let it melt in your cheek. It takes a higher dose to get it in your brain that way, but we can do it either way.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we've got a fair number of people that have been on oxytocin lozenges or sprays for years at a time and very, very happy with it. Yeah. People usually think of us as doing testosterone and estrogen, progesterone and stuff, but no, we do this sort of thing. Yeah. It's a fun hormone.
Interesting. So the normal levels of oxytocin tend to decrease, as many hormones do, the older you get.
The older you get, but I don't know that we would make less, except that the fact that the things that trigger oxytocin production, the primary ones being skin-to-skin contact. And by the way, this is one of the reasons massages feel so good. Just having somebody rub your skin causes some oxytocin release.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So skin-to-skin contact, simply holding each other and rubbing and feeling their skin against your skin, there's some oxytocin release. Intercourse, sexual arousal, big ones. Nursing a baby, the biggest, strongest one of all. But very few 65-year-old women or men are nursing babies.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, this is fascinating, Jerry.
Should I hit you with one more?
Sure.
One more use of it.
Okay.
Okay. This is one that we thought of. I thought of this several years ago when I was reviewing the literature, and it suddenly struck me that the primary way oxytocin is used in normal medicine is to induce labor. If you got a woman, the baby's due, she just won't start, you start an IV and you run very low doses of oxytocin.
Oh, that's what they use.
The brand is called Pitocin.
Okay.
Pitocin is oxytocin.
Okay.
And you run the oxytocin in her IV and her uterus starts to contract.
Okay.
And that contracting uterus starts to push the baby down. Well, it occurred to me that we don't have very many drugs to make sex better for women. We've got the PDE5 inhibitors, the Viagra, Cialis, Tadalafil, and so on for men. But there's never been much available for women. And so my question was, what would happen if I had the pharmacist compound a vaginal gel in oxytocin, and you could use an applicator, you put it up on the top of the vagina right at the base of the uterus, right around the cervix, where the blood supply drainage goes directly up through the uterus, and you raise high uterine oxytocin levels when you had intercourse. Because part of a woman's orgasmic response, there's clitoral responses, of course, but part of it is uterine spasm. Women that get that deep, deep, deep in her belly sensation with orgasm are having a uterine orgasm where the uterus itself is spasming and contracting. And so I said, let's see what happens if we do this. Now, as always at Longevity and Medical Clinic, when I come up with a wild hair like this, I take it home and try it. My doctors all get a chance to take it home and try it and see if they like it, see what happens, you know, and report to me. And I kind of had a mild misadventure with this one. I took it home and explained to my wife what we were going to give a trial of. And she's, as always, just loves to try things like this out. And so We did the oxytocin. We had delightful intercourse. And then I started getting phone calls all during the day. She was saying, I'm obsessing about you. I can't get you out of my mind. What have you done? this is crazy. You know, you're with me all the time.
Interesting.
Now, having a man getting a phone call from his wife saying she's obsessing about him and she can't get him out of his mind, I don't know very many men that object to that. But when I went back, because I thought, well, okay, we used the oxytocin yesterday evening, and now we've got this, and now, you know, where's the guy? Turns out that I made a boo-boo when I calculated the dose. I calculated the dose I wanted to use properly. But when the pharmacist sent me the vaginal applicator, I didn't look at the applicator closely enough. And I gave her five times the dose.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
So the side effect of overdosing her with her oxytocin vaginally was that I had a woman totally obsessing about me for the next 24 hours.
Well, let's.
As side effects and complications of medications go, it's one of the better ones I can think of.
That's right. This just so perfectly illustrates, Jerry, this is just a teeny little slice of the pie of Longevity Medical Clinic. And the advantages, because people don't know about oxytocin. Very few people do.
Most doctors don't know about it.
Yes.
Obstetricians know about running IV to start labor.
That's right.
They don't know the rest of it.
But all of the other advantages of longevity, this just being one little teeny area, this is why so many people get excited about making a free health analysis appointment. This is just one example, folks. And for those of you who have been meaning to make an appointment, this, I just encourage you to do it, because it is so much fun with all of the being on the leading edge as patients at Longevity. Boy, do they appreciate it. The free health analysis appointment is yours for the asking. You just go online at lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com. Easy to do. You just make an appointment. During that appointment, you get two free tests. You get a blood test and also our special in-body. Jerry was talking about that earlier in the show this morning. And you get those two free tests. Plus, what we're doing through the end of the year anyway, is you also get $100 of free longevity supplements. All your choice, whichever ones. I think we have about 30 or so or more to choose from. So $100 of free supplements and the two free tests. Just for coming in for your free health analysis appointment. It's a baby step, but it's a fun one. And so go to lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com, and make that appointment. All right? All right. Hey, time for a break, obviously. We can hear the music. We'll be back before you know it.
Aging gracefully is a terrible option. Learn to live to your fullest potential. It's a lot more fun. Stay tuned for more.
Hey, this is Pete Talbot, and do I have some terrific news for people struggling with joint pain and possible joint replacement? We're hearing a lot today about stem cell therapy, and Longevity for the last 10 years has been referring our patients and radio listeners to clinics out of state, but no longer. Dr. Dan Nelson with Pro Ortho is who we now refer to, and he's right here in Kirkland. And you'll be hearing more from him here on Leading Edge Medicine. Stem cell therapy is a definite option for painful joints and is minimally invasive, where Dr. Nelson can harvest your own stem cells from your own bone marrow and your own fat cells. And instead of a 6 to 12 month recovery with surgery, you can go to work that next day and in most cases be in less pain within 2 to 3 weeks or sooner. Dr. Nelson also uses PRP, platelet-rich plasma, which is sort of like supercharging the repair process. And by the way, the overall cost savings is dramatic when compared to conventional joint surgery, even if you have insurance. So you'll not only save money, you'll eliminate a lengthy recovery and therapy required with typical surgery. So here's what to do. Call Dr. Dan Nelson's office in Kirkland for a consultation. 425-823-4000. That's 425-823-4000.
You hear all the time about fitness and doing exercise. Where do you get the energy to start your exercise program? With Longevity, I was able to start my exercise program, and that parlayed into more energy, of which I ended up going from 220 pounds to about 180 pounds in about 2 years. And that has changed my life. And that's why I tell everyone I know about Longevity.
Really, 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 are you really mine? Really, 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 are you really mine?
You tell me that you love me, and you tell me that you want me, and you even wear my graduation ring. It's too wonderful. It's too beautiful. It's a fantastic thing. Are you really, really mine? Really mine. Really mine. Will my lucky little star really shine? Really shine?
Welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine. We've been on the air, holy cow, 22 years of Leading Edge Medicine. Amazing. But we're glad you're here. I'm Pete Talbot, and lots going on here. And I should quickly remind you, because I forgot to do this again, when I told you about the free health analysis appointment, you can make those, obviously, online at lmclinic.com. lmclinic.com. At any one of our three clinics, Tacoma, Linwood, Kirkland. Okay, but for those of you who don't have a computer, this is what I forgot to give you the toll-free number. Here it is, 866-86-YOUNG. You can make your free health analysis appointment by calling 866-86-YOUNG, unless you'd rather do it online, obviously, at lmclinic.com. Okay, hey, time for another call. Bob, we're glad you called.
Hello, Bob.
I have a last question about my knee. I have an old compound meniscus tear. It's come back pretty hard on me. Exercises do help. My doctor gave me diclofenac sodium gel 1%. It's an NSAID. I heard you mention things about messing with your immune capability. I'm hoping that that does not bother the immune capability by using that.
The gel, it should not interfere. Right now... When I was 40, I developed an Achilles tendonitis in my left ankle, and it has reoccurred periodically. I got it back just a few weeks ago, and I had them write me ketoprofen and in a cream, and I just apply the cream right to the area, and it's made a dramatic difference in just the last 3 days. Local use of the NSAIDs is much, much safer than oral use. So you're probably going to do fine if you're using a gel that you're just applying locally.
Okay, and in my COVID situation here, I take resveratrol, flushable niacin, collagen, CBD oil, and ubiquinol. That's all I take. Any of those problematic?
Nope, should not be problematic at all. I would follow your vitamin D. 25-hydroxy vitamin D levels have a dramatic impact on who gets sickest with with COVID. People with high levels don't get sick very well or very often. You've already had the disease. The odds are that you are going to be protected for at least a couple of years. We'll comment about the antibodies here. I guess some people who don't get very sick, they get the disease, they get a little fatigue, maybe a tiny runny nose or something. They don't even know they're really sick. Many of them will make very low levels of antibody. And those people, the antibody will often fade quickly. And we can test them later and find out they're negative. They're antibody negative within weeks of getting infected. But even those people have usually developed a T-cell immunity. So even if the antibody is low, the CD8 cells will usually provide them with good immunity in the future. So I wouldn't be too worried. If your antibody levels drop, that's made by the CD4 cells. The other side of the immune system, the CD8, is probably reacted already, and it will give you very nice immunity even if your antibody levels fall.
Okay. All right. Well, you answered all my questions. I appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
So, Kathy from Renton. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Dr. Mixon, I've spoken with you before regarding my thyroid, and I don't remember for sure if you had said something about iodine being connected to that. I have a problem with being cold most of the time, and so I just couple of days ago, finally went and had a, you know, went to my doctor, had a physical, da da da. And so it's still, the labs haven't come back, but I told her that I thought maybe my medication needs to be up a bit. I don't know. But I mentioned the iodine thing, and she acted like she didn't know what I was talking about. And then before I left, she said, yeah, she goes, well, that includes something about radiation, radioactive something. I'm going, what? And so I don't know. I mean, you know.
Have you ever seen pictures of the pioneers in the Midwest?
Yeah.
Look at the, take a look next time you get online, find yourself some photographs of the pioneers in the 1800s in the Midwest and look at their necks.
The goiter they've all, thing?
They've got enormous goiters, all yes. of them. And it's an iodine deficiency. And much of the United States does not have enough iodine in the soil. And so, enormous population in the 1800s, probably two-thirds of America had a goiter from the thyroid is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, trying to produce, but it didn't have enough iodine. When your thyroid gland makes thyroid hormone, the first hormone it makes we call T4. It's thyroid hormone with four iodine molecules bound to it. And then once it's in your bloodstream, you strip off one of those iodines and you make T3. And so iodine is a critically important component for making thyroid hormone. Okay. Mm-hmm. You need every molecule of thyroid hormone has to start with at least four molecules of iodine. So if you don't have adequate iodine in your diet, indeed, your thyroid cannot function as well, and your thyroid hormone levels will be lower than they should. Mm-hmm. We often don't get overt goiter these days because almost all of your salt is iodinized.
Right.
You know, nearly a century ago, we started adding iodine to salt, mm-hmm. knowing that Americans love to put salt in their food. So overt iodine deficiency is much less common now than it used to be. But it's a possibility. The other trace mineral that often interferes with good thyroid function is selenium. If you don't have enough selenium in your diet, you don't make good iodine efficiency or good thyroid efficiency. So those are the two trace minerals that we want to make sure people have adequate levels. One thing people forget about, I've seen too many housewives throw, they pour the salt out of the great big container into a salt shaker, and then the salt mm-hmm. shaker sits on the back of the stove so they can shake it into the food conveniently. But iodine sublimes at about 75 to 80 degrees. That is, it goes from a solid directly into a gas and disappears into the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And if your iodine was in that closed cardboard container, you had plenty of iodine in the salt. When you put it in the salt shaker and stick it up on the back of the stove, it gets hot. And over time, all the iodine sublimes out and mm-hmm. you end up with no iodine in your salt. Mm-hmm. So
good
so,
to know.
Yeah. So, you know, use
well,
the iodine.
Salt.
Okay.
You know.
Well,
and I don't have it on the stove at all. It's in a cupboard that's right yeah, to the left of the stove. I don't know if that's being affected in that way because I don't do a whole lot of cooking that often.
Yeah.
At any rate, she never mentioned selenium. I didn't even think about it. But she did say what I told you about the iodine. And I'm like, oh, why? I mean, what's with the radiation thing she's talking about?
Well, it turns out that gamma radiation increases the risk of thyroid cancer. People that were in Chernobyl, for instance, enormous number of people caught thyroid cancer after the Chernobyl accident. One of the protective mechanisms against that is to take high doses of iodine. And high dose iodine helps protect the thyroid against radiation induced thyroid cancer. So that's probably what she was thinking about. But we don't usually have that problem here in the United States. Unless you live in a basement in Utah, Turns out the ground in Utah, the subsurface basements often have high levels of radioactive radon gas because there's a lot of uranium in the soil there. Mm-hmm. And so basements collect radiation gas. Most here, we don't have much in the way of basements. Our water level's too high, so we avoid basements here. Anyway, probably not your problem.
Should I supplement with selenium?
Well, you could. We have iodine and selenium supplements that we use for our patients when we discover one who needs it. We do a test, something like a NutriVal, where we actually look at 35 different vitamins, minerals, and so on in your tissues. Mm-hmm. And if you're low on iodine or selenium, we add some. It's a little harder if you're guessing.
Because
you can also overdose on these things. So yes, we do carry it in our store, but I usually ask my docs to check the patient first.
Well, I'm going to sign up real soon, so I get one of the first August appointments. I've been procrastinating. You know how it goes.
Yeah, I do indeed.
I really appreciate you guys, and thanks so much. You've been very helpful, and I'll see you soon, hopefully.
All right. Okay. Take care. Bye.
Thanks, bye-bye. Kathy. That's very nice of you. And we're glad you're going to come in and grab one of those free health analysis appointments. Great call. Glad you called. Good luck with your daughter. Well, you can tell by the music, it is time for another break, so don't go far. We will be back before you know it with Dr. Jerry Mixon and some more calls.
Leading Edge Medicine.
Listen to past programs by going to lmclinic.com.
Longevity Medical Clinic is happy to announce that Longevity Development, the business and marketing arm of Longevity Medical Clinic, has entered a strategic management relationship with Paramount Pharmacy. As a medical clinic, we cannot tell anyone where they have to go to fill their compounded prescriptions. We can only make suggestions. But for the last 2 years, we have referred our patients to Paramount Pharmacy for three key reasons. Excellent quality control, excellent pricing, and excellent customer service. And now, due to our new management oversight and relationship, Longevity Development and Paramount are actually working together to better serve our patients. A team approach to better healthcare. It truly can make a difference. And now, to celebrate and to convince you that we truly feel we can better serve your health needs while saving you money, Paramount has agreed to make an offer to all new patients willing to give Paramount a try. On your first prescription only, Paramount is offering you a 90-day supply for their 30-day cost. That's right, a 90-day prescription for the 30-day cost. All you need to do is call Paramount at 425-251-1660. It's as simple as that. Call 425-251-1660.
Yes, it's a very good thing that Dr. Umat and Dr. Mixon both suggest you see Dr. Michael Gilbert for your vision care. But maybe you should hear from one of Dr. Gilbert's very newest patients, like Bonnie.
What impressed me is that they're extremely professional, high-tech. I was there getting different tests and so forth, and I was extremely impressed because I've been to another ophthalmologist, and to tell you the truth, it was old school. And all of his staff, they treat you well. You just feel like you're at a party. You just feel comfortable. It was just awesome.
Just like at Longevity Medical Clinic at Northwest Vision Institute, Dr. Michael Gilbert is also on the leading edge of medical care. LASIK and cataract surgery, general checkups, and eye care at its very best. Call to schedule your appointment at 425-450-2020 or schedule online at nwvision.com.
My husband and I are, as you said, just right on schedule for falling apart in a very timely manner. So I think we're going to come to one of your seminars here the next time they come around. And I do thank you for all your advice on the radio.
Hey, hey, Paula. I want to marry you. Can't wait.
Hey, we've got about another half hour of being able to take some calls. That's a good idea. But I want to remind everybody, you know, we haven't been doing seminars for a long time. We've talked about that. We'll talk about it again. But the fact is, we've got some incredible videos on our homepage. And for those of you who would like a basic introduction to Longevity Medical Clinic, we've got some videos there that will just kind of blow you away. They're wonderful. Not just because it's Dr. Mixon here doing these video presentations, and I kind of help him with those. But they will give you sort of the who, what, where, why, and when of Longevity Medical Clinic. We actually call it the Introduction to Longevity, and it's about 45 minutes long. What's really interesting, you need to know this almost. It is so good that about 94-95% of the people who start watching it finish it. That's almost unheard of when it comes to online video. People just don't watch that long unless it's really good. Well, our diagnostics, you might say, show that people, once they start it, really enjoy it. So if you've been listening to here, Leading Edge Medicine, maybe for a week or two or a month or 10 or 20 years, and you want more information sort of all in one place, maybe you'd like to watch it with a friend or a neighbor or what have you, or send it to somebody or let them know about it, simply go to lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com, and click on one of the many seminars. There's one on sexuality, like I said, the Introduction to Longevity. There's one called The Two Stages of Aging. It's an amazing presentation. Talks about senescent cell therapy and exosomes and things like that. Talk about leading edge. Amazing stuff. Just have some fun at lmclinic.com. I promise you, you'll enjoy it. And especially those that just sort of want to do a deep dive on who we are at Longevity. Watch that Introduction to Longevity. I promise you, there's a 95% chance you'll finish it, okay? All right. Hey, let's take another call. Let's go to Blaine and talk to Lynn. Lynn, welcome to the show.
Hi. Hey, I got a question for you, actually a couple that are tied together. You say that cholesterol is good and we all need it, but that it becomes dangerous when it becomes damaged and gets laid down in your arteries. And I want to know, it's probably generic, you know, it's probably something everybody knows, but can you explain the process of how it gets damaged and how we can avoid that? And then also you say to eat a diet of healthy fat, which does not probably include animal fat, but then I heard you say this morning that animal fats are not, you know, not bad for you like sugar. Mm-hmm. So I kind of want to know where the animal fat comes in on the scale of eating a healthy diet with healthy fat.
Okay. Well, Todd, do you want to start with this?
Go ahead, Todd. Well, which part do you want me to start with? The explanation of the cholesterol damage or
the
fat question?
Sure, that was your first question.
Let's start with that. So basically, so you've got this lining, this endothelial lining on the insides of all your arteries. And what happens as just by no fault of anyone's or you know, yourself through lifestyle, damage happens. You get little nicks and scrapes. There's turbulence in the bloodstream. You know, there's red blood cells and white blood cells and things flowing around. And you know, through turbulence, damage happens. So the body needs to repair that damage. And what happens is when you have the presence of inflammation and oxidized cholesterol, you know, typically cholesterol is used to help repair that damage. It'll lay down a nice smooth coating. You know, think of it as a cut on your skin and you're filling it in. But what happens when that cholesterol becomes oxidated or you have inflammation present is your body tends to overdo it. So instead of getting a nice smooth lining on the insides of those arteries, kind of like Teflon, things don't stick to it. They have a tendency to attract things, other particles, platelets, cholesterol molecules. They build up, they form a lump over time. That's atherosclerosis. Over time, it can harden, it can lead to blockage, sometimes complete blockage of an artery. So really, cholesterol is a building block for how that happens, but it's not it doesn't do that simply by just its presence in your bloodstream. It'll only do that in excess if you have too much inflammation or your cholesterol is oxidized. And that's something that the lack of too much inflammation will oxidize it, for one, and also lack of healthy diet that contains a lot of antioxidants will allow that to happen. Antioxidants simply prevent that oxidation. Or, to get to the fats question, mainly you want to avoid oxidized fats or fats that oxidize easily in the body. You know, that I would throw in there with vegetable oils. By vegetable oils, I mean, it usually includes soybean oil, corn oil, the things you buy off the grocery store shelf in those big plastic containers, you know, get it a gallon at a time. That's bad stuff. You don't want to consume any of that. The fats I'm not as concerned about would be, you know, animal fat would be included in that. So the type you're getting in eggs and dairy and meat. We mentioned that study earlier today, 135,000 people in a number of countries across the world, that showed that the more fat they ate, and that included saturated fat, the lower their mortality risk was. So that includes the things that a lot of us think of as being, you know, something to avoid. Also, I'd throw in there with their olive oil, coconut oil, fatty foods like avocados and nuts. Those are great healthy fats. They don't oxidize easily unless, you know, for example, you have a bottle of olive oil that's old and it can go rancid. Then it becomes actually quite damaging to consume it. So you want to store those types of things in a cool, dark place. Don't consume them past their expiration date. And if they taste bad, then they're probably rancid. Olive oil, for example, gets this acrid, just bad taste. You don't want to eat it. It's not good for you at that point. So, to put simply, I hope that answers the question about fats and the cholesterol deposits.
But then there's also free radical damage. You want to avoid, or you want to make sure plenty of good, deeply pigmented fruits and vegetables to sop up those free radicals and avoid the damage to the cholesterol.
Right, and that study about the fat, it doesn't supplant that we need to still eat plenty of vegetables. Yeah, deeply pigmented fruits and vegetables both. Not too much fruit, however.
Yep.
I get into that conversation with some patients who eat 5, 6, 7, 8 servings of fruit a day. And then, you know, it sounds great on the surface, but it's too much sugar.
Well,
but
yeah, it depends on the fruit.
If it's berries, you know, say blueberries, blackberries, you can get away with a little bit more.
Apples.
Apples tend to be a good one, even oranges, you know, sure. Citrus fruits.
The old apple a day keeps a doctor away was not a bad saying.
Mm-hmm. But focus on a lot of dark leafy greens, especially too, kale, spinach, and the like. You know, mm-hmm. those have that antioxidant effect, prevent the free radical damage.
And tea and coffee.
Yeah, I Dr. Mixon mentions this a lot. I mention it too. Green tea is a great source of that as well, mm-hmm. as coffee. So several cups of green tea a day, I think, is a good recommendation as just an extra ounce of prevention.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it, Lynn. Hopefully that's been of help.
Yes, thank you very much. I guess if you eat a lot of healthy foods, that will keep down inflammation and keep our high in antioxidants. But also, it's not a terrible thing to eat animal fat, as long, I guess, as if you don't do it excessively. It's not
right. I'm not worried about the meat eaters out there that eat meat and a lot of vegetables and a lot of antioxidants. I'm worried about the ones that are eating a lot of sugar, too, and starchy foods.
Yes.
Right.
Burger with Coke and fries is not a good idea.
Not a good idea. Lynn, thank you for your call. We appreciate it so much. Well, unfortunately, we got to do another break. But, hey, we've got time. We're going to come back. And I'm going to ask Dr. Mixon here. Get ready, Jerry. Okay, we're going to ask him. I'm going to ask him, why no more seminars? We did seminars for 21 years, and we're not doing them anymore. Well, that's not entirely true. We've got some that we may be doing, some specialized seminars. But we're not doing them anymore, and I want our audience to know why. I think you ought to stick around. I'll ask them that when we come back.
Leading Edge Medicine.
Leading Edge Medicine.
Don't believe the lie that you have to fall apart at the normal rate and see what your options really are. Check out the free longevity seminars at lmclinic.com.
Stay tuned for more.
Did you know coffee is the number 2 commodity in the world? Only behind oil is number 1? That's right. And with everyone staying at home as much as we are right now due to the pandemic, people are drinking more coffee than ever before. And Kamano Island Coffee is the very best of the very best. Organic Arabica beans, fairly traded, of course, grown at high altitudes and in the shade, which makes all the difference in the world. With incredibly low acidity and flavor that is simply outstanding. And here's a special longevity offer for you. If you consider yourself a coffee connoisseur, or you simply want the very best cup of coffee available, try a full pound of Kamano Island coffee for 99 cents. That's right, just 99 cents. You will taste the difference in your very first cup. A full pound for only 99 cents. Simply go to KamanoIslandCoffee.com/longevity. KamanoIslandCoffee.com/longevity.
I'm just so pleased, and I just want people out there to know that they should go to your seminar. That's what we did, and, you know, it just made a difference. I never, ever had this much energy before, as long as I could remember. And I cannot believe the difference in my husband, internally changing him. I mean, he's honestly getting more confident. And just listening to the radio, you think, oh, you know, it's an advertisement. But when you're actually here and going through it, it's just a life changer.
Hey, welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Pete Talbot, and today I've got Dr. Jerry Mixon, our founder and chief medical officer at Longevity, with me. It's just the two of us today. Dr. Umat will be back next week, we promise. We miss her. And if you're listening, Dr. Umat, we do miss you. Hope you're having a good day. All right. Jerry, earlier in the show, this has just been bugging me, or encouraging me. It's such exciting news. You said in a 13,000 woman study.
Over a 10-year period.
Over a 10-year. So this was a legit, well-run study.
Yeah, a good size study.
For women who brought their testosterone levels to a proper level.
A robust, youthful level.
Okay. Yeah,
not an old woman's level.
It decreased their chance of breast cancer by 2/3?
Yep. At least in that one study, yes.
Oh,
there was,
my golly.
There was only 1/3 as many breast cancers in that 13,000 women over a 10-year period as we would have expected.
Wow.
Had they not been treated.
That's just amazing. Well, during the break, you were talking, there's other things that can be done too to lower your risk of breast cancer.
Yeah, in fact, there's a whole idea that I would like to start marketing to the general public. You know, women, breast cancer is one of the things that scare women the most.
Of course.
And it is the most common fatal disease or cancer in women. So, sure, we'd like to lower it. But we can actually predict who is at risk years before it shows up.
Really?
Sure. Because women have different amounts of, they metabolize their estrogens differently. Okay. See, people think of estrogen as one thing, as a, you know, I'm on estrogen. As though that were a compound. There are a variety of estrogens. Estrogen is a class of compounds. And some estrogens are only made by specific animals. For instance, if you take Premarin, conjugated equine estrogens, 2/3 of the estrogens found in Premarin are only found in equine species and never found in human beings. So 2/3 of the estrogens that women are taking in Premarin are not human estrogens. No human being makes them.
So right now we have hundreds, maybe many, many, many hundreds of women listening right now taking Premarin, which is estrogen from the urine of a pregnant horse.
And 2/3 of the estrogens in that compound are foreign to human beings. No human has ever made 2/3 of those estrogens.
My goodness.
Okay. There are estrogens that lower the risk of breast cancer. There are estrogens that are essentially neutral and don't raise or lower the risk of breast cancer. And there are estrogens that increase the risk of breast cancer. And depending on how you metabolize the estradiol is the estrogen made by a woman's ovaries. That's healthy estrogen made by healthy women. How that is metabolized determines in large measure what that woman's risk of breast cancer is. If it is metabolized to methyl estrogens, those estrogens actually lower the risk of breast cancer. They are anti-cancer estrogens. The estradiol itself probably is mildly protective, but about 70% of that estradiol is going to be converted in the liver to some form of an estrone. And as women age and their ovaries are no longer making much in the way of estrogen, more and more of their estrogen comes from the aromatization of testosterone into an estrone. And most postmenopausal women make mostly estrones. Okay. Estrones can be a 2-estrone, a 16-alpha estrone, or a 4-hydroxy estrone, the three different ways it can go. Women who make a lot of 4-hydroxy estrone are at increased risk of breast cancer. And women who make 3-4 quinones are extremely high risk of getting breast cancer. And there's no way to tell from looking at the lady or feeling her pulse or listening to her heart or doing a pelvic exam to tell what she's doing. These are tests that we actually have to measure the estrogen metabolites that they're producing.
Do primary care physicians or gynecologists, you know, for
most
women
of them
on their checkups?
No. What they recommend is go get your mammogram every year. And the mammogram will help us find the breast cancer early, but it does nothing to prevent the breast cancer.
Yeah, so mammograms are not prevention. It's just early detection.
They're early detection. I'd rather prevent. Breast cancer usually starts anywhere from 4 to 7 years before we can find it.
My goodness. Okay?
So if a woman is discovered with a little breast cancer at 55, that cancer did not start in her 50s. The odds are that cancer actually started forming in her 40s.
Mm-hmm.
But it started as one cell. Well, you can't see one cell. And then it doubled to 2 cells, then 4 cells, and 8 cells,
sure.
And 16
sure,
cells.
Sure.
That thing has got to have tens of millions of cells in it before it gets big enough to show up on the mammogram. So I don't want to wait till their 50s or 60s. I would rather start doing the testing in their 30s and early 40s to find out who's at risk, so that we can alter their metabolism and never let them get the breast cancer in the first place, or at least dramatically diminish their risk of getting the breast cancer.
Sure.
There. But that's the thing I really wish I could get across to people, is that breast cancer has been present anywhere from 3 to 7 years before it's big enough for us to find. It all depends on how fast it's growing. And a fast-growing breast cancer, a really aggressive one, will go from, you know, one cell to something big enough to find in 3 years. And a so-so median sort of breast cancer will be 6 or 7 years after it starts before we can find it. And, you know, we're already way up by the time your mammogram shows us that tumor, you've had it for years. Let's not wait that long.
Boy, no kidding. No kidding. No matter what your age is, ladies,
This
is information you absolutely have to have.
Because even if you're 55 or 60, you may not have formed it yet.
Yeah.
And, you know, the peak years for breast cancer are in your 70s. That's when we discover them. But if we find it in your 70s, it probably started in your 60s. If we find it in your 60s, it probably started in your 50s.
Okay. So it's never too late, ladies.
No. I mean,
do what's right.
If you haven't had a breast cancer yet, if you have not yet been diagnosed, then let us alter your estrogen metabolism in directions that will minimize your risk.
Oh, my goodness. Talk about the ultimate preventive clinic. That's
sure.
Longevity. Wow. And again, forgive me. I'm almost embarrassed saying this because we tend to mention it at least every 2 or 3 weeks. The average primary care physician sees 41 patients a day and spends 5 minutes and 20 seconds talking to the patients.
Yeah.
Direct communication.
And the rest of the time charting and writing prescriptions.
Right. Which is why you need to listen to this show every Saturday. It's the only way you're going to learn what really is possible.
No, the really thing you need to do is make an appointment at Longevity Medical.
That's right.
Sit down with the doctor one-on-one for an hour and let them actually do the testing, talk to you about it, and show you where your risks are, and then make a plan to change your risk factors. I think that's far better than the radio.
Well, the radio is often the first step. Maybe the second step, maybe this is a three-step earth. The first step, you're listening right now, and you're sitting there thinking, oh, my golly. Whether you're a man or a woman, it doesn't really matter, because this type of information is dramatic, and you need it. But maybe your first step is to make one of our free health analysis appointments. It's a no-brainer. And earlier in the show, Dr. Mixon explained what you get, the two free tests, the in-body and the blood work and what have you, which will help determine for you your basic risks that you're facing. And again, with the appointment is free, the two tests are free, and it's just a great way for you to step your foot into the shallow end of the pool. You know, you don't have to make any major commitments. It's all free, but at least you'll know. Yep. It's a free health analysis appointment, and it's available only at Longevity Medical Clinic. Boy, what a great idea. To make your appointment, you just simply go to lmclinic.com. lmclinic.com. Push on the health analysis tab there. You'll see it right on the homepage. And up will pop the three clinics. And you just either select Tacoma, Linwood, or Kirkland. And when you do that, the schedule comes on your screen for all of the free health analysis appointments. You simply click on the one that's best for you. And you husbands and wives, your couples, get two back to back. That's a lot of couples do that. It's really a good idea. Again, lmclinic.com. Or if a few of you, and that's okay, you don't have a computer, you can't go online, you can do the same thing and talk with a real person by calling us at 866-86-YOUNG. 866-86-YOUNG. And you can even call today or tomorrow. Saturdays and Sundays are in the middle of the night, but you'll have to leave a message and we will get you back. Or you can call Monday morning, whatever is best for you. 866-86-YOUNG. 866-86-YOUNG. Boy, this hour has really flown by. I can't believe it. Thanks for being with us. Have a wonderful rest of your weekend. And join us next Saturday morning at 10 o'clock right here on 570 KBI for another edition of Leading Edge Medicine.